kitchen. There's fun to be raining out
doors. Come over here, kid, will you? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. And you fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
Naftitos, yeah.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. It's Michelle, Anna, Jordan. How are you doing this evening? Did you make it to a farmer's market? There were certainly lots of beautiful occasions this weekend. There are actually four year-round farmer's markets. I've been making a mistake saying that there are three. There's Sonoma Valley on Friday. There is both the Santa Rosa Original Market on Saturday mornings, as well as the Oakmont Market on Saturday mornings, which is year-round. There's the Sebastopol Market on Sundays, which has gone year-round for the first time this year. And then there is, of course, the Wednesday Market in Santa Rosa as well. So lots of opportunities to really get out under the sky to do your shopping. It's wonderful. A couple of thank yous, or at least one thank you. I have to say a big heartfelt thank you to the crew. That's K-R-E-W-E, the crew of Meadowcroft Winery. They hosted their second annual Mardi Gras celebration, and I was there this year as the outgoing queen to crown the incoming queen. And you know what? Wherever you get to be a queen, it's a good thing. And it was really lots of fun, really good food, great music, and even little Lucas, my 10-year-old grandson, sat in with the, I think it's St. Gabriel's, it's the San Francisco street and funeral, New Orleans street and funeral band, and they were there last year, they were again this year, and I made Lucas tuck his saxophone into the trunk of the car, and then I whispered to the leader of the band, and he asked Lucas to come on up. So that was really fun. So it was a great weekend, and speaking of Mardi Gras, there's more coming up, and for some reason, there just seems to be more buzz about it, more awareness about it around Sonoma County this year. I'm not really sure why. Maybe it's just something that's the time has come. On Tuesday from 7 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, Cousteau Bakery on Healdsburg Avenue is going to be hosting a Mardi Gras party with guest chef Ron Lippincott of Louisiana Legacy. You may know Ron from Rob from his beignet booth at Santa Rosa Farmers Market on Saturdays. You got to be really careful when you're walking by. You can't walk too close to that booth, because if you get too close, they'll grab you in and they'll make you eat three beignets with powdered sugar all over them. Anyway, he'll be making his beignets at Cousteau. He's also going to have shrimp and grits and a number of other things for both breakfast and lunch. I'll see you there. I plan on getting there about 9 tomorrow morning. Tuesday morning. Today is Sunday. So anyway, that's some of the stuff that's going on around the county. Also coming up are two really exciting things. One, we have Nancy Wong here in the studio with us for, I don't know, the third or fourth year in a row, talking about the upcoming Lunar New Year celebration. This year, it is the year of the Water Dragon. We also have with us Jennifer Bethke and Eric Stanley, who are going to be talking about the upcoming show at the Sonoma County Museum, The Tsar's Cabinet. So welcome, everyone.
Thank you. Good evening, Michelle.
And Nancy, it's so good to see you again. And I want to start with you, but I also want to invite any any of you who have a question or comment about Lunar New Year, please jump in here. Show is taking place on Saturday.
Yes, February 25th.
It's always the last Saturday, February.
Yes,
is that right?
Because the contract with the vet building.
Oh, and so they won't count from, you know, the fifth Saturday after the solstice. I guess contracts don't work that way.
We hope we can move a little bit forward, you know, to have a more regional lunar calendar New Year to celebrate.
Yeah. So this happens, takes place 5:30, doors open, 6:30 dinner?
No, 5 o'clock, door
5 o'clock.
Open.
Okay.
Yes. And then 6 o'clock, start dinner.
Okay. And then once everybody's served, the entertainment begins.
Yes, we have a really fantastic entertainment also. And it's all provided by our own association. Mm-hmm. We don't have any outside professional entertainment. We all train, you know, our children, self-esteems, to do the performer. We have a dragon.
Two big dragons.
And the lions, and the culture dance, and martial art demonstration, mm-hmm. and tai chi. Really unique program. And our food, it's unbelievable and delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we do have a vegetarian
dishes
too.
Yes, so absolutely.
If you're vegetarian out there, please, you know, coming, we do have vegetarian food and really delicious. We all had a catering from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Now, before dinner starts, when people are just starting to come in around 5 o'clock, there are activities, there are things to look at, and there are also things to do. Let's talk about that a little
bit. We have when the origami master, Henry Koda, he's going to demonstrate the folding, teach the children to how to fold the origami.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have two local author to the book author. One's Alex Chan for all the 12 different zodiacs, the writing in Chinese, and another one's Camille. And she has a book published.
Raggedy Chan.
No, she has another new book.
She has a new book out?
She has a new book out.
Oh,
so
great.
She's going to be there too. So then we have our youth group, you know, have their own booths. Then also we have just one day ABC license. So we have, you know, local winery, and also the beer company is the Lagunitas.
They do such a
great
job.
They do such
so
a
generous.
That's
with
right.
The community.
Then we have another three different wine companies. To, you know, Diablo, Dragon One, and then the JJ Custom One, and the Man St. George. They donate all the wine, and also Lagunitas Bear.
Uh-huh.
So we do.
And that's it. That's not included in the price of the ticket.
No, I'm sorry.
Bring some
fundraiser.
I forgot my purse one year, and it's like, oh no, I can't even buy a beer. But some very kind gentleman at my table bought me a beer. So whoever you are, if you're listening, thank you.
You should let me know.
Okay. And then you also have going on up near the front of the stage. People shouldn't avoid that. There is. It's a raffle and a
raffle
silent auction.
Raffle and silent auction.
Yes,
we have a really nice silent auction item this year. With
what sorts of things?
We have some kind of getaway hotel, and then I think a Reno stay, then very good selection of wine, too.
Wine, sure.
And some jewelry. Of course.
Yes. There's always some nice jewelry.
And also the most of the raffle we call the shoebox raffle. You have your choice. You can put your
I think
in.
That's just the best
yes.
way to do
you don't
a
want
raffle.
To win the things you don't need. So most is a local. We have a lot of restaurants donate the gift certificate. So you can enjoy the go to the restaurant to have some more food.
There you go. See, it's a really fun event. Kids really love it.
Yes.
Lucas has been, I think, let's see, Lucas is 10.
I think 4 years.
At least since
three,
he was six.
Possibly. Yes.
At least
four,
since he was six. Possibly since he was five.
Yes.
He no longer has any, I used to have Chinese clothes for him to wear just because I like them.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing fits him right now. I'm not sure if I get to San Francisco and get something to fit him before
Saturday.
He
might have the chance can hold a dragon. You know, we always ask the guests.
Yeah?
We
oh,
only
he
have
would
a
love
certain,
to.
We have a certain spot for the people participate our event, they would love to hold us, the dragon stick.
He's just waiting. Yes. He's been waiting to get tall enough to hold that dragon.
Yes. I think he's qualified. 10 years old, just the right
he's
size.
Pretty, and he's
because
he's
we have
tall.
A two, one is a huge one. One just the meeting for the about 10 to 15 years old children's size.
Excellent. Oh, he'll be thrilled. Now, I know that this always sells out in advance, and you don't sell tickets at the door.
We wish we can have ticket we can sell in at the door because we always sold out before our event. So I encourage the people, if you're really interested, to we have a ticket selling at the Santa Rosa College Avenue GNG supermarket, the custom service. Another one is Asian Mart.
Asian Mart, great places. I do a lot of shopping at Asian Mart.
Or if you really had a problem, they don't have any more. Give me a call. My phone number is out there.
Yes, and it was in my column on Friday. And we'll give the call. I'll get your phone number.
Okay.
We'll give your phone number before the end of the show so when everyone's trained to have a pencil who's listening to Mouthful. $25?
$25 for adult. And the children, if under three, you don't take any seat. It's free. And the children's $10, 3 to 10. Mm-hmm. Remember, it's just a buffet.
Yes. Yeah,
really good food. You want me to share the food menu with you?
Absolutely.
Okay, we do have sweet sour pork, then the of course broccoli beef, then fried rice and fried noodles. Then also we have the vegetarian, and this is lotus root. Mm. This is for the vegetarian people.
I love lotus root.
Then we have another. The Chinese vegetarian we call zai. That zai has at least 10 different kind of vegetable inside to stir fry with the tofu together.
Mm-hmm.
Also the vegetarian dishes. Then we have barbecue pork.
Mm. And always good.
Yes, always so good. So the food is... It's a warm, and always has a lot of food.
There's
enough
always,
food.
There's oranges on the tables.
Well, orange.
There's this bowl of something red with these...
The sauce.
Puffy things you dip into them?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. The skin to, dipping the sweet sour sauce. The orange also has a lucky candies on the table.
Yes, and then is it the lion?
Lion with through the candy also. Then this year we're going to have the God of Fortune and at the front door to greeting all the guests. We have 120 red envelope for the children. Supplied by the U.S. Bank at Montgomery Village.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful red envelope. I never see that beautiful red envelope.
Oh, great. I can't wait to see that.
Yes. And then we have all the children, six to dozen girls wear traditional Chinese clothes and with the princess hat pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be gorgeous.
Oh, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Now, throughout the year, what does the association do?
Oh, we do go to all over different school doing the presentation.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yes, we've been going the calligraphy demonstration, then talking about the Chinese New Year, the history. And we've been so busy since January.
Mm-hmm.
We started this year every day. I think 2 to 3 days per week, we had to go visit different schools.
Mm-hmm.
Then these few years, we're really lucky to strongly the Mandarin language.
Mm-hmm.
We helped the school district putting the Slater Middle School and Montgomery High School. And we have a lot of private school, just like Sonoma Academy, Hillsburg School, Sonoma Country Day School.
Mm-hmm.
And I think these other school, the teacher is all our members teach there in Mandarin. And we have a lot of exchange program coming in from China to our middle school.
Uh-huh.
The teacher, student, we just send off Shanghai student, also Beijing, from the Beijing to high school and middle school student.
Mm-hmm. So lots of cultural exchange.
Yes.
As well as local cultural education.
Yes, we do provide a lot. Whenever you need it, they always call us. For the new immigrant, people need help.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody has anything, wants involved with the Chinese.
They call you.
They call me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Including the museum, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, thank yes. you, yes.
We called them, yes.
Oh, okay. So tell me what the museum has done that in conjunction or...
Well, I was glad to see Nancy here because we've been... talked to her a little bit already about doing an exhibit about Santa Rosa's former Chinatown coming up in June. So,
oh, yes. Oh, interesting. Where was it?
It was along 2nd Street, okay. Kind of where that parking, you know, where the post office is and right. that parking garage uh-huh. that's, that was essentially kind of the heart of what was Chinatown.
Uh-huh.
And the museum's collection is actually based on a collection from a woman named Songwang Borbo, who ran... must have been
a restaurant, Jam Key, which must have ran for
like 100 years or some incredible amount of time. But anyway.
Yeah, so. We do have her, some personal things that she donated yes, to so. Us. So we will definitely will loan it to a museum to display.
Wonderful.
Then also our association has a lot of things we can share with. So we're really... open our, you know, the door yeah. to loan it to the museum to display, then we can provide the entertainment for weekend too.
Yeah, yeah. We're very, mm-hmm. very
calligraphy, yes. writing, you know, and yeah. demonstration mm-hmm. and dance.
Now, for people who are not necessarily, are not able to go to the celebration and don't necessarily really understand maybe Lunar New Year, particularly the specific year. What can we tell them? I know it's the year of the water dragon. Is that the same thing as the year of the golden dragon?
Yes. You know, somehow this is the fifth animal, zodiacs in the, you know, the Chinese zodiac. Mm-hmm. The dragon is the number fifth.
Okay.
Somehow it's really popular, the zodiacs. So whenever the dragon year coming up, everybody want to have a... the baby in the year the dragon. it's rather, actually we had our second daughter. We were in Japan that time. We live in Japan. I just found out I was pregnant and the doctor told me go to get a, reserve your bed in the hospital. I say, you know, 9 more months to go. They say, you know, because it's going to be the year of the dragon.
Oh.
So I said, okay.
Okay, so people want... Now, why is it? What is the dragon?
I think
what
the dragon symbolizes its strong, natural, has the leadership. Oh. They're really strong about that and okay. smart.
Uh-huh.
And somehow the dragon just made everything strong. The people always want to have, you know, their children. Mm-hmm. Avoiding the dragon.
Now, I was reading because I've tried to understand it and haven't really been able to understand it in a personal way. So I was trying to read a little deeper a few weeks ago. And I saw that, oh, well, you have your year, animal, but then you also have your month, your day, and your hour.
You're right.
So I figured out, let's see, I think I'm a dragon, rabbit, rooster rabbit, or something like that.
You're absolutely right.
My mm-hmm. my grandson is, let's see, he's a snake, rooster rat.
It's like I was the year the ox. Then I uh-huh. found out myself it's the water buffalo. So it's a hard work. I always work. That's why I found out I'm the, you know, water buffalo. So my brother-in-law, it's same year the ox, but he's a fire ox. So
he's having more fun.
More fun, I think so.
So if people want more information about both Chinese astrology and Lunar New Year, what can you recommend a good source?
Yes, actually, we do have a website for our association, www.recacenter.org.
Okay.
And we have a lot of resource there.
Oh, that's
and
great to
yes.
know. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there you go. And again, tickets are available at G&G Market on College, at Asia Mart on Guerneville Road.
That's correct.
And you're going to give me your phone number, and I'm going to give that phone number at the end of the hour. So we're going to take a little musical break, and we're going to pack our bags and go from China to Russia.
Thank you.
It is mouthful. And I have really good news. I was going to mention this at the top of the hour, and I got distracted with all of my wonderful guests. You are probably aware that we have been doing our winter membership drive here on KRCB. We made our goal. As of this afternoon, we've reached our $20,000 goal. So thank you to everyone who has joined, rejoined, made an extra donation, put up with it. And also thanks so much to our program director, Robin Pressman, and to all the programmers who worked so hard to make this happen. So everybody, lift up your right hand, put it on your below your neck, and pat yourself on the back. We did it in a really difficult economy, and that's a great thing. Okay, now we are going to turn to really another really great community asset here in Sonoma County, the Sonoma County Museum. We have with us Jennifer Bethke and Eric Stanley, along with Diane Evans, who has been waiting outside the door to get into the studio. We're glad you're here now, Diane.
Thank you.
So we the show is opening, if I have it right, this coming weekend.
It is. That's right.
Sort of the same day or the day before the Lunar New Year celebration.
It's the same day. You're going to have to pick your poison. Yeah. February 25th.
It's another one of those times when you need to be several places at once.
Yeah.
So tell me about the show. I know it's part of the 200th anniversary of Fort Ross, right? Or sort of resonating with that.
That's right. That was the original impetus for bringing in the show. 2012 is the 200th anniversary of Fort Ross, mm-hmm. and we wanted to celebrate that, figure out some way to think about Russia, and we're able to bring this traveling exhibition to the museum.
And what's the scope of the Tsar's cabinet?
It's a show of Russian decorative arts, and these were all pieces made under the Romanov reign, which was very long. So the show mm-hmm. covers about 200 years. It goes from the early 1700s all the way through 1917 and the Russian Revolution.
Uh-huh. Interesting. And when you say decorative things, are some of those things functional as well as decorative, or is it all decorative?
Yeah, we say decorative arts, but that's a funny thing. Really, we're talking about mostly functional objects.
Like so. Amazing tea.
Yes, exactly. Right, yeah. So this is almost all porcelain pieces. Oh. So there's some gorgeous banquet services and other pieces like that were made for the Romanovs, either for what would have been public courtly use, things like coronation services or huge banquets, mm-hmm. you know, in a palace. And there are also pieces in the show from daily use, right? So these would have been used privately by the Tsars and their family.
Now, was a lot destroyed during the revolution? Were a lot of the treasures destroyed?
There were, but you'd be surprised at how much is left.
Okay.
I mean, this
was produced.
Yeah, a lot was produced, and this show has, I think, close to 200 pieces. Is that right, Diane?
Yeah, I think it's 230 pieces in the collection that's traveling.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And I should actually have each of you say what your involvement is.
Sure.
Let's start with Diane.
I'm the executive director of the museum. And Eric is our history curator, and Jennifer is our art curator.
Oh, okay, great. So. And how long have you been there now?
Since May of 2008.
Okay, because I met the one who was executive director just before you, and then you came, and we hadn't had a chance to meet yet. So it's very nice to meet you.
Thank you.
How long will the show be? What's the period that
it's running from February 25th when we open until May 27th.
Okay.
So what is that, about 12 weeks,
yeah,
something
so
like that?
Yeah, there's
some
time.
Yeah.
And what will happen at the opening?
The opening is going to be, we're hoping to be a Russian party. With Russian music. I found a musician at the Russian Festival in San Francisco last weekend. And then Russian food. And today I was down in the city talking to the Russian bakery and markets and trying to figure out what kinds of foods we're serving. But mm-hmm. the idea is that we'll also have a vodka bar, and we have Crystal Head Vodka has donated some vodka for the event. And so it will be a party, but mainly an opening for the exhibition.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, but I was wondering if there were going to be those little Russian elements.
Russian candy, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, and I don't know anything about Russian candy.
I can't tell you very much, but I can tell you that what I've had, it's actually pretty fun to go to the Europa Market on Geary, and they uh-huh. have baskets of different brightly colored, beautiful wrapped candies, and they have wonderful pictures on the fronts of them, and I have no idea what each one of them is. But so we kind of grabbed a little of this, a little of that. Yeah. Some are chocolate. Some one I had today was a caramel candy, and mm-hmm. it was good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good. Mm-hmm. So
now, there used to be sort of a Russian restaurant in Sonoma County. It was in Petaluma at the gas station, I think it was called. I'm really serious. I think it was called Reinhardt's. I'm pretty sure it was Reinhardt's.
Okay.
It was like a truck stop, only it was Russian.
How funny.
And the stories mm-hmm. and the experience were amazing. Tom Waits supposedly used to go there late at night.
Eat borscht.
And you'd see him there with his notebook. It was truckers, and truck stops are always kind of interesting in a really seedy way. And you could. I reviewed it once when I was reviewing. I forget if I did it. Probably for The Independent, which became The Bohemian. Probably didn't do it for The Chronicle. But get a bowl of soup with it. I think they're called pelmeni, little almost like
little raviolis.
Yeah, like little tiny ravioli sort of things. And borscht, mm-hmm. you could just go, Russian meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
You could go and get that stuff 24 hours a day at a truck stop. And I was really sad when it closed. I think a lot of people were really sad when it closed.
Well, this is
it was
a huge
little
Russian
colorful
area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there are something like 4 or 5 Russian Orthodox churches in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working with one on Mountain View.
Yes, they're on the Mountain View.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and they're going to come, I think, and do a choral presentation at our family day on March 17th.
Yep, I think that's
right. And the ladies from the church are making the pierogies for, we have a VIP opening on the 24th, sort of a preview to the opening.
Uh-huh.
So we're involved with them. And actually yesterday, bringing in Fort Ross, I went up there and they opened their costume closet for me. So I picked up a bunch of sort of peasant costumes, and I think somebody's going to be wearing them.
Oh, that's really good. I made a Fort Ross costume last year.
Eric, Jen.
Yeah, I made a Fort Ross costume for my 9-year-old grandson, because they were doing their Fort Ross day.
Fort Ross
and
overnight.
He insists on appropriate costumes. So I don't think it was called Hunter, but it came down to Hunter Trap or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I know that he wasn't a tradesman and he wasn't a cook.
Well, he would have fun at our opening, because we know we're going to have at least a few people in costume. So.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. What time is the opening?
It's 5 to 7 on the 25th, again,
5 to
Saturday.
December, huh? February 25th.
Yeah.
Are you going to be doing other things in conjunction with this 200th anniversary of Fort Ross?
Well, right now we have an exhibit of the Kashaya Band of Pomo Indians.
Right, and that's what was on
Eric can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah,
we have a series of portraits of contemporary portraits of the Kashaya.
Yes.
Who were, of course, the first people that the Russians encountered when they arrived here.
The coast Kashayas are the coast. Pomo, is that right?
They're Pomo. So in this area, kind of the Miwok and the, mm-hmm. The Pomo also along the coast. And the Kashaya was just the area in which the Russians came to, near a particular village.
I've had some of the Kashaya on before.
Yeah.
Had them on right when there were those new restrictions for everyone when it came to gathering of sea vegetables, which are so essential to the Kashaya.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I had them on to talk about that. They were really amazing. Yeah. They do amazingly simple and delicious things with sea vegetables. Mm-hmm. I was really shocked. There was just some fried, I think it was wakame, but I'm not sure. But just fried, dried and fried, mm-hmm. and wrapped in a tortilla. Now that sounds so bland. Not a tortilla, their flatbread.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems like, well, where's the salsa? Where's the squeeze of, the lemon or the hot or something? It was so good.
Mm-hmm.
It was absolutely delicious. So the Kashaya, the contemporary Kashaya portraits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we're also, kind of connecting, because the span of the Tsar's cabinet, you know, spans the time period of Fort Ross, that historic period, and so we're kind of doing a small exhibit about Fort Ross and some of the connections, because Fort Ross and the Russian American Company, which established Fort Ross, were really, you know, kind of the right arm of the Czars in America. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you know, they were pursuing sea otter was the main thing they were after. And I think there were some sea otters eaten. I don't know what their recipes were, but
I draw the line at certain points.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
But there is a connection there. In fact, the otter pelts, one of the main markets for the otter pelt was northern China. And they would trade. That was one of the main ways in which they would trade for Chinese silks, Chinese tea, and Chinese porcelain.
Chinese porcelain.
And the importation
right.
of Chinese porcelain into Russia helped sort of inspire the desire in Europe for mm-hmm. to find a way to create these things.
Yeah.
And so there is this kind of, maybe it's a two-step connection, but there is kind of a connection there between those objects and right. what was going on with Fort Ross and mm-hmm. the extension of Russia into the mm-hmm. into the
and
Americas.
There was also a very active sort of botanical and scientific mission at Fort Ross, and they were sending back skulls and different plant types from the area around Fort Ross, and so many of these things ended up in the Ethnographic Museum in St. Petersburg.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. One thing I've always been curious about, and maybe you've gotten a little bit of information or not, I'm not sure how accurate it is, was the impact of the Russians further into Sonoma County. There's some thought that they actually planted the first vineyards somewhere on, I think it's Green Hill, or Green Hill Road, and I'm not sure if it's Green Valley Road, but somewhere near there, there's an old map that shows
right.
a vineyard. What do we know about that?
Well, there were a couple in addition to just Fort, because people just think of Fort Ross, but it was more than that, because mm-hmm. Towards the latter part of Fort Ross's existence, they were also trying to establish farms, because one of the big reasons for the establishment of Fort Ross was because of the lack of supply in the northern hunting outposts, Russian mm-hmm. hunting outposts up in the Alaska, and so they were looking for ways to supply those, and so they would establish these other farms. So
yeah.
you're right, they were credited with planting vineyards. I mean, they also made it to Mount St. Helena, which is how gets its name, and
oh,
so
okay.
they did get inland and were interested uh-huh. in that, and they did.
And the ships came in through Bodega Bay, so they were that mm-hmm. far south. As
okay,
well.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that I didn't realize the connection to Mount St. Helena.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty interesting. Now, I don't know if this is an apocryphal story or if it actually really happened and is true, but supposedly about 20 years ago, there was a diary found in an attic in Santa Rosa that said, when translated, "We think we could have made it here if it weren't for the ground rats. They ate everything we planted." And we're, you know, everyone who has a problem with gophers quotes that all the time, including me. Is that, do we know if the gophers really did thwart them?
Well, the gophers
maybe.
Were well armed. Well, no, I honestly haven't heard
teeth.
That story.
No.
I would love to know about that. No, I don't know that one.
Yeah, I forget why I forget if it was from, it seems like it was from Gay LeBaron.
Then it must be true.
It could have been. It could have been passed on to me from Chester. You know Chester Aaron, who writes about garlic. I know I've passed it on in a couple of my books because I live in Sebastopol. I'm always doing battle with gophers.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're gonna take a little musical break here. Think about gophers and be right back.
Не сбрасывать, не сплетать.
It's Mouthful. It's Michelle and Jordan. Thanks for joining us. We are talking about the upcoming show, The Tsar's Cabinet, which opens this coming weekend at the Sonoma County Museum. They're at the corner, well, not exactly the corner, 7th. They're on 7th Street, right when you're making
7th
the curve.
7th between A and B.
Yeah, you're making that big curve if you're going the back way to get downtown and trying to vote.
It's not the easiest access. The Macy's parking lot is a good landmark.
Yeah, there you go. So how long has the museum been there?
The museum was, the building was moved to its present site in 1979, and it opened as a museum in 1985. Mm-hmm. So been there quite a while.
Yeah, quite a while.
And then last year we finished up our sculpture garden.
Yeah, I love the sculpture garden.
That's a really nice addition to the museum. Uh-huh. It kind of opens it up a little bit.
Yeah. And then how what sort of programs do you have to invite the public in, sort of increase awareness about the museum?
Sure. Do you want to talk about that, Jen?
Sure. We have lots of programs with museums. It's always worth checking our website, SonomaCountyMuseum.org, and just go to the website calendar and you can see what's up. Mm-hmm. We do lots of programming for adults, have regular lectures, sometimes films, roundtable discussions, and that kind of thing that are always related to the exhibits that we have up. Mm-hmm. And for families, we have a nearly monthly family day, and that's worth keeping your eyes out for as well. The next one that'll be related to the Tsar's Cabinet exhibition is coming up March 17th, I think. Those run 11 to 2. And they're lots of fun for kids of all ages, as mm-hmm. they say. Lots of hands-on activities and often demonstrations or performances. They're a great day at mm-hmm. the museum.
And what is it aimed at, any particular age group, like little kids?
You know, we get all ages yeah. through the door, yeah. And uh-huh. we try to do things really from preschool on up. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So you could drag a 10-year-old there and see it.
And then,
oh, I'm really glad
time.
I came.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Uh-huh. I can't guarantee it for your, you know, 17-year-old. But I can guarantee it for the 10-year-old.
That's a tough age.
No, no, mine is 10.
Yes, so perfect. Perfect age.
There's no 17-year-old
yeah.
in my life.
Not yet.
But 17-year-olds.
But
right.
a 17-year-old, a 17-year-old could volunteer at the museum.
Which is, you have a lot of volunteers.
We
a
do.
Big core
we have,
volunteers.
We have volunteers who have helped us with the installation. For example, mm-hmm. Tony the painter has been there every day. Christy, a number of people have been helping us with that. And then we have volunteers at the front desk. Mm-hmm. We're open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 to 5, and we have a regular staff person there and then a volunteer. For Tsar's Cabinet, we're actually looking for some gallery attendants.
Uh-huh.
And so if anybody's out there is really interested in helping the museum, mm-hmm. it's a fun way to see the show. It's a fun way to talk to people who are, you know, visiting the museum.
Mm-hmm. What does a gallery attendant do?
Watch.
Make sure everything stays where it is.
To make sure everything stays where it is.
Right. So you don't answer in-depth questions about...
No, but we do have docents, okay. and the docents give tours, and we do a lot of adult tours, groups like community groups like Verena, seniors come mm-hmm. sometimes, and you know, visitors coming from, say, the East Bay or other places, they can come and... a group of 10 or so can come and have a private tour with curators. Mm-hmm. We have curator talks. I think that is it monthly?
Mm-hmm. Those are monthly, yeah.
And that's at noon on Fridays. You check
the
website.
First Friday of the month usually.
Which is really nice because it gives you a way to listen to the curators who are responsible for putting up the show. And mm-hmm. you get a really sort of in-depth kind of way of looking at the exhibition. Uh-huh. So that's another way. Mm-hmm. And then we have other volunteers, like you know, office volunteers, people who want to come and help out with things,
have time and energy,
it's
and want to
right.
do something.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing we do is at our receptions, we use a lot of volunteer help. They're pretty mm-hmm. labor intensive, and we need to make sure that you know, if there are any bartenders out there that they want to come and help us, or uh-huh. You know, there's a lot of setup and takedown, and with our lectures as well. Moving chairs and mm-hmm. sort of ushering people in
sure.
and making sure that they're comfortable. And
yeah. Well, if you've ever gone to an event and you stand around feeling like, oh, I don't know anybody, what do I do with myself? Volunteer.
Right.
Then you have a role.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great way. And what you can also become a member of the museum, right?
We would love for everybody to become members of the museum.
How does
members,
that work?
You can either go online and sign up. You can come by the museum. You can call. There's information on our website that tells you about membership. And what membership does is it gets you in free, which is wonderful, mm-hmm. to all of our exhibits. It gives you discounts to our lectures.
Mm-hmm. It'll get you into wonderful receptions like the opening reception for Czar's Cabinet for free too. So,
And then we have a supporter level membership, which is $125, and that gives you the...
What's the normal? The normal,
I think, I want to say 40.
Yeah, I think it's 40 or 40, 45,
45
and
something
that's our,
like that. And I wish I had the numbers in front of you. But the supporter level gives you the NARM program, which is a national museum reciprocal program.
Oh, so you can get into museums.
So that you can get into the De Young or the Legion of Honor. And, you know, museums are expensive around the country. Yeah. And this gets you in for free.
It's a great deal at $125 a year. I think there are over 300 museums nationally.
If
you
like to visit museums,
that's a really good thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And membership really helps our museum because it provides, just like members for KRCB, helps to provide a steady, stable income for the museum. And that helps us to be able to put on our programs.
Right. Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Where's your funding? How do you get funding? Mm-hmm. How do you make it work?
How do we make it work? Well, we've been in kind of a growth mode the last few years, and we've been increasing our membership. I think over the last few years, have tripled our membership, which is really
exciting. That's really great,
We have a very supportive board of trustees, or board of directors, I apologize, who are just very enthusiastic at this point and are helping the museum in terms of fundraising. We do a spring gala every year, and this year we're going to do something kind of fun. We're going to do probably a beer tasting in the summer. Mm-hmm. We've done that in the fall a number of times in Oktoberfest, and we're going to probably do it in the garden this summer. And then we're going to do a fine craft auction in November. We've never done this before, but every year for the last 23 years or something, we've done the Artistry in Wood show. Mm-hmm. In the sort of the early fall, and this is kind of an extension of that program where there are a lot of art auctions in the community, but nobody's really doing anything with fine craft. And this is a really rich area for woodcraft, ceramics,
we have some
jewelry
making.
People here. Yeah, there's some really amazing artisans, so we're excited about that.
Cool.
And we do apply for grants. We have a little bit of corporate funding, and we have some investment. So, for example, we own the Conklin building, the carpet building that's next door.
So
we get, thanks to Conklin, we get a steady income from that. And that's really helpful.
Yeah, it's really remarkable, all the varied things that need to be done to keep all of the important cultural things.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot
of work. You know, I think we'd all love to see the big check come in someday and endow our nonprofit. But it's a lot of work, and I think... By having a number of different avenues for fundraising, that is a way for us to reach into the community. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important for us to see that, you know, that by building our membership, we really build a stronger base of community support. Yeah. And that's critical for the museum to succeed.
Sure. Sure. Well, good luck to you. It sounds like things have been going really well the last few years. I know certainly just from my end of being in the community, the profile of the museum has been increasing. I just see more about the museum in more places, which I think is great.
Well, appreciate that.
It's always great for us to hear. So it makes our money.
Somebody gets a pat on their back.
Yeah.
Well, I think both of these two get a real pat on the back because they work really hard. And Eric's been at the museum probably longer than anyone. And has been there.
So is your job, you get to delve into the history of all these things. It just sounds so yummy.
Yeah. It is. It's quite yummy. I don't know.
But not gophers.
It's great fun. It's like with something like Czar's Cabinet, it's picking the threads out of there that connect to the kind of regional history. And that's fun.
Yeah.
It is fun.
Can I see that? Is that a catalog? Is that a flyer?
Yeah.
I just want to take quick look. Here's what looks like probably a tea service, not a coffee service. Mm-hmm. These amazing covered serving dishes. Mm-hmm. The platters that look like they're woven, but they're porcelain.
Yeah, those reticulated things, as they're called. Yes.
Reticulated, like giraffes.
That's right. it's a lot of beautiful stuff. Another thing, especially for your listeners to know, is that formal dining at the Russian court was considered some of the most opulent in Europe of all the courts. So it was a typical banquet dinner would be 14 courses, and you would start with oysters on the half shell and end with about 4 different desserts. Yeah. Desserts were a particularly big thing. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And fresh fruit.
And fresh fruit.
At a season they had
in the 18th century.
Yeah, right. Amazing.
Yeah. So really opulent and fun, and that's a fun thing about this show, especially a lot of the dining and fancy dining. Yeah.
Now, there's a real tradition of decorating eggs.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, what is it? The Fabergé eggs.
Yeah, and we don't have any Fabergé eggs in the show. We do have some other Fabergé objects.
And it looks like there's some other eggs. There's some other eggs here in the catalog.
Yeah, the eggs you're looking at are actually made out of porcelain. So they're porcelain eggs. That's a big tradition in Russia, which links to Easter, which is the big Orthodox holiday over Christmas. It's kind of a bigger deal. So these, you know, like Easter eggs that we all exchanged, they would have been exchanged as gifts.
Mm-hmm. But made out of porcelain.
Wow. Yeah, and the ones you're looking at often have the monograms of a czar on them. So they
were a very important person associated with the czar.
Right, so they're a gift, but they're also, of course, a sign of
power,
a little propagandistic reminder of
who gave you that gift.
A lot of the pieces have decoration that is truly propagandistic, such as, you know, the double-headed eagle. You see that all over the place. You see crowns. You see images of Caesar and Roman gods. Mm-hmm. You see images of cities, Russian cities, which didn't happen, which was really sort of a patriotic look at things. And in the past, it was always, you know, before the Russians were doing this, it was look at cities like Venice and Rome and, you know, the great
European
capitals. And then they soon started painting Russian scenes, which was a real change.
You know, there's this one plate here that I'm looking at. It's white and it looks like soldiers. Somebody carrying something that looks like sticks.
So that's
walking in the snow. What is that?
Yeah, the blue and white plate.
Yes, this one.
Yeah, so this is the very last piece in the show, and that actually was made, I think, in the 1950s. It's
I was going to say it looks rather
showing revolutionary soldiers storming the Winter Palace. So for us in this exhibit, it's the end of the story. That's a picture of the 1917 revolution.
Okay.
And the end, of course, of the Romanov reign. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to know, though, this factory that was set up by the czars in the 1700s to make all these porcelain pieces continued under the Soviet regime as well. So that actually was a plate made under the Soviet regime, but made by the same state factory that made all of these other pieces for the czars.
It doesn't have the symmetrical beauty. It's not ornate.
No, it's quite modern, isn't it?
It's modern and severe.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I mean, it's beautiful in a certain way, especially if you put your eyes a little bit out of focus. You can, I mean, I can see it as a full moon with odd birds flying across it.
Right.
So all kinds of things that you can see in this.
Yeah.
But then when you look closely,
so
it looks, it's very warlike.
It's a picture of a revolution. It is indeed warlike.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's an interesting piece for being quite different from nearly everything else in the show, which is gilded and ornate and full
very
of neoclassical illusions, very fancy.
If people want to and are able to go to the opening, they get tickets through the website?
No, actually, this is a come to the door.
Oh, okay.
So we try to make it really simple. It's $15 if you're not a member. If you're a member of the museum, it's free.
Okay.
If you're wearing a Russian costume, we're going to give you $2 off because we want,
so come in
want it to be sort of fun.
Okay.
But no, we've been getting calls for the last couple of weeks about how do you buy tickets online and you can't.
So just go.
Just come. And the same goes with our lectures that we do. Just show up. We have limited seating, I think 45 seats in our basement space, but first come, first serve.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, with the opening, it's just come along.
And it starts at 5, so...
Starts at 5.
Get there at 4:45 if you want to get in.
If you want to get in. Yeah, I mean, we're going to be letting people in all through 5 to 7.
Oh, okay, so you can just come see the show.
So, absolutely.
Yep.
And great.
Have a glass of vodka. And
some wine. And, I mean, there may be more food. There will certainly be more food at 5 than there will be at 7 if you show up. But,
And then jumping ahead a little bit to spring, are you going to be doing your lunch in the sculpture garden sort of?
We loved that program. We don't know if we're going to continue it or not, but certainly the garden will be open in the summer, and it's a great place to come bring a lunch.
And so you can just come sit down in the sculpture garden and enjoy the space.
Yeah, enjoy the space.
Yeah, and the plants have been really growing, and this is nice.
Really
last year they
starting
were
starting to look lush.
Small.
Right. They were brand new last summer.
They're new plants, but now they're fuller plants.
Yeah.
And
Well, I had several friends who went.
Oh, great.
Some who either lived nearby or worked nearby, and so it was really easy to just to go. And I guess you had, what, food trucks?
We did. We had a crepes food truck that
that's
was coming
right, the
in.
Crepes,
Yeah, that's right.
Cool. Okay, so the website, again, is
SonomaCountyMuseum.org.
Mm-hmm. You got it. Yeah.
And you can get all the information. The dates of the show, I'm sure, are there. It's a beautiful catalog. This is really, really... I assume the catalog will be for sale in the gift shop?
The catalog will be for sale in the gift shop,
What else do you have in the... We've got like 2 minutes left. What else do you have in the gift shop?
All kinds of great stuff. Everything from fun trinkets to jewelry to
stuff
books.
Connected somehow.
Always we stuff have connected some, to our
we
shows.
We have little Russian... stacking dolls. And we have some Ukrainian painted eggs that are beautiful, and we have jewelry and all kinds of stuff. So it's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
great. Okay, and it's all taking place next week, 5 to 7 on Saturday, pretty much the same time as the Lunar New Year celebration. Yeah. So you know, if you're really agile, you could go to this
That's
at 5
right.
o'clock.
Yeah, you could
That's
go
right.
both.
You could you see
can.
The show, and then you get over to the Veterans Building where the New Year celebration is taking place in time for dinner.
That's right. Perfect.
There you go. You can have a snack at the museum.
Snack and a shot of vodka and get on over to the...
And then you're ready for lion dancing.
Exactly. I do have to say the lion dancing is my favorite part.
Yeah.
And that doesn't take place until about... Oh, gosh, close to 9 o'clock.
Yeah, see, it's perfect.
So you've got a lot of time to get there. And for everyone who may need Nancy Wong's phone number for tickets, if you can't get to either G&G Supermarket or Asia Mart for tickets to the Lunar New Year celebration, that number is 576-0533. Again, that's 576-0533. The tickets are $25 for adults, $10 for children 3 to 10 years old, $15 at the door for the Czar's Cabinet. Just really a great show. Thanks so much to all of you for taking time to come down. I really appreciate it. We had Diane Evans, the executive director, Jennifer Bethke, curator.
Yep, of art.
Art curator.
You got
art
it.
Curator. And Eric Stanley, historical curator.
Yes.
No.
Curator of history.
Curator of history.
There you go.
Curator of history. We will get it right. So thanks. And thanks also to Nancy Wong for taking the time to come down on her incredibly busy schedule. So that's it for another episode of Mouthful. Thanks to all of you for supporting KRCB and helping us reach our goal. Meet me back here for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour here on KRCB.
Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner now. Let's go eat. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher said.
Mouthful is produced by Michelle Anna Jordan. It's engineered by Lawrence Alberti and Eric Black. For more information about Mouthful, email to catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also go to krcb.org and download podcasts of Mouthful, as well as from iTunes.
And the moral of this story, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too. And he'll sing, to the Lord that praises me. It's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord that praises me. It's time for dinner now, let's go eat. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord that praises me. It's time for dinner now, let's go eat. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says.
Let it be.
It's time for dinner now. Let's go eat.
We got some beans.